We'll go ahead and stand for the reading of our scriptures. What a blessing to be together. So Proverbs is about right in the middle of the Bible. It's a book of wisdom. We know that before Proverbs is Psalms. The book of Psalms is a book of worship. King David, through the Holy Spirit, wrote Psalms, and his son Solomon, through the Holy Spirit, wrote Proverbs, wisdom. And in the book of Proverbs, and especially as we're in chapter 10 and moving on, every sentence is like a little sermon in and of itself. It's just packed with encouragement, sometimes contrast as well. Today, the title of the message, we'll just be looking at Proverbs 10, is The Way of Blessing, and reading a few verses. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes his father glad, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he cast away the desire of the wicked. So, Father in heaven, we again bring prayer before you right now. We do ask that you would be alongside. We have some dear friends from our fellowship that have not been feeling well, have been struggling through different health situations, some even in the hospital at this time. So, Lord, you know each of them. We do too. We pray that you'd minister your healing power, your comfort, your encouragement, even the grace and the light of your love upon them this evening. And do we pray your blessing on this Bible study now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we're living in incredible times. I can't think of a better time to be a follower of Jesus Christ and a believer in the Word of God. I don't know how those that aren't in such a position of believing God's Word, how do you just try to understand what is going on? A couple of the people before the service gave me a little article. I thought it was interesting. It says, we have in Rome, so it comes from Rome, implements of the Jewish temple, the golden menorah, and many other temple vessels and tools that we took from Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. With these vessels, you brought light into the whole world. They are with us. By keeping them, perhaps we're preventing you from fulfilling your destiny. If so, we'll return them to you. If you want them, take them. It won't be easy, but if this is what will enable you to fulfill your divine role, then please, they are yours. In Rome. There's going to be a new temple, my friends. I don't think we'll see it being built, but there's going to be a new temple taking place. And all of a sudden you have, you know, just things that are going on that you just can't ignore that we're living in the last days as you see all these little things taking place. When we get to Proverbs here and we start to study it, and we'll have other examples that are current for today as we study through it. But it says in chapter 10 and verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, and we know that to be true because that's how chapter 1 began. But in verse 1, as in the following verses, each verse is packed in and of itself. So it's not like the Gospel of John where we're taking several verses and they're in the upper room and there's the drama and the scene taking place. This is absolutely different. They're just biblical statements that are being made that will help us in our walk with God. Now, it tells us a wise son, and as you realize, you know, children, wise children, sons and daughters, you can make mom and dad real happy. Be a good thing to keep in mind. And I think every child goes through struggles. Adolescence and thereafter. In our family, as most of you know, I had nine brothers and sisters, including myself. I had two older sisters and myself, two brothers, and then a set of twin girls, and the next year a set of twin girls. And I know I grieved my mom and dad greatly, but they were so glad they had the younger girls, because it's just like that first crew is getting out of our house. It's your 18th birthday. Enjoy your luggage. It wasn't like that quite, but they were very nice and kind. But I remember at 25 coming to faith and writing a letter to my mom and dad, asking for forgiveness, apologizing, taking responsibility for my careless, selfish, reckless living that caused them great grief. And they never downloaded anything but love my way, which was an incredible statement to my mom and dad. And that Solomon is saying, you know, if you want to be a wise son or daughter, make your mom and dad happy. But if you're living foolishly, it's a grief of the mother. And that is so true, because moms, you're made obviously different in many ways than the husband, that you bear a pain and a grief in a way that the husband doesn't in the same way. And sometimes it may be hard for a wife thinking, aren't we on the same page in this? You are, just that a husband, he's gonna grieve differently. He's gonna articulate things differently. He's gonna work through things differently. Don't think he isn't affected. But a woman, a mom, that tender heart, that loving heart, a mom in raising and training the children is so, I mean, no one can replace a mom. They're the best for seeing children move along, but they're also hurt the deepest as well. This is what Scripture says. It's grieving when you see that. And thank God for, as moms and dads, just interceding and praying and believing and giving it to the Lord. I think when we think of Mary who bore Jesus, but it said a sword would pierce her heart, obviously when she saw her son on the cross. But I think that there's swords that pierce mom's hearts. And it's a pain and a grief that only moms know about. But we stand with you, moms, and we want to believe with you. Verse 2, it tells us a sense of, and by the way, a couple of other complementary verses to verse 1. Proverbs 23, verse 15 and 16 says, my son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice indeed. Yes, I myself, yes, my innermost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. It tells us in Proverbs 17:21, he who begets a scoffer does so to his sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. And so that's what takes place. A wise son in Proverbs 15:20 makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. A foolish son in Proverbs 17:25 is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. So we see in Proverbs, they're making it really clear. Mom and dad, you have a great place. And it's a hard place. And it's a painful place. And it's a challenging place. But every one of us here came into this world through a mom and dad, regardless of whatever situation you might have faced and difficulty or whatever else like that. And maybe right now you're a mom, you're a dad, and we're together. And it is difficult, it is hard, it is painful. But the Scriptures make it clear. And I think the encouragement then is to any of us, no matter what age, make sure you communicate to mom and dad your appreciation and your love. And especially as you move on through life, just let them know if you have that opportunity. Because that opportunity will go away at some point. For many, you don't have that opportunity anymore. So take the opportunity and let them know you appreciated their love. You know, there was something that was put out this week here in the Northwest in our county, Whatcom County. It has to do with Blaine school districts. It was put forth by a news commentator, and it has to do, and it wasn't given to all the students within the Blaine school district, specifically, it seems like high school, specifically relegated to some specific groups. But it's called the Power and Privilege Checklist. I don't know if any of you heard of this at all. It's out there. And it basically has two sides, and it says, you're privileged and you're less privileged. And they handed it out, and you're going to go check down each side, and you're going to come up and show what the power privilege score is that you have. This was within our public schools. So, for example, I'm in a bad place, because on the checklist, if you're a man, if you're white, if you're heterosexual, if you're non-transgender, if you have, you're working, you have some resources, if you're traditionally educated, whatever that is, it's society definition of sane, so I'm not losing my mind. Okay, I'll check that. Able body, yes. Emotionally stable. You speak English. Average size, white collar. You're a Christian. It's on the list. It's terrible. And on the other side, you know, they have a whole list. You know, if you are a woman, a person of color, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, poor, self-educated, and I look at this and I think, what is going on? Because it's just ruining society. It's ruining our young people. And you know that the young people, they're coming from homes where you don't necessarily have mom and dad together in the same home. There's brokenness. We know the statistics of that. And you have these young children looking for a sense of identity and who they are and what the purpose is. And basically it's a tool to direct them towards an ideology that is away from the Lord Jesus Christ. When you look at the checklist, really, if you're a follower of the Lord, you love God and you want to live a life that's honoring to God, and you want to work hard, and you care about other people, and you just want to live a life that, you know, you're not taken into the world and the wickedness of it. You live a life separated apart. You're considered privileged. And the fact that they put Christian in that, there's no more persecuted people in the world than Judeo-Christians. Jewish and Christians are the most persecuted people in the world today. You just think of the countries. We let everybody in our country. But you go ahead. So I have somebody from two foreign countries, one early this morning at 3. I was up and corresponding with him. I can't tell you the country he's in, but in the surrounding hostile areas that are underway. And they have to, I mean, he's brokenhearted, but he has to leave for the sake of the welfare of his family and others. And, you know, you cannot openly proclaim your faith in Christ in most countries of the world. And we're called privilege. I tell you what, I think it is a privilege to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your grace. But as we look here and see, verse 2, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. So it's not saying that you can't have financial resources. That would be contrary to the word of God. We thank God for the provisions to get the word out throughout the world. But it means treasures of wickedness, that you gain them through deceptive means. You gained it by wickedness. And if you gain things by wickedness, you're going to lose them by wickedness as well. It tells us in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, Jesus spoke a parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded plenty. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? And he says, I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns. I'll build greater ones. And there I will store my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have so many goods laid up for so many years. Take ease, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to you, you fool, tonight your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasures for himself, but is not rich towards God. So when we look at the verse 2, we want to be rich towards God. And when it says, but the righteousness delivers from death, you'll see in chapter 10 a comparison between the wicked and the righteous. Continually through this, it tells us that when we're looking here at Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount, verse 19 to 21, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where neither thieves break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And it's just an interesting thought. As you know, you've never seen, I don't think, I haven't at least, a funeral service, memorial service, where a hearse is towing a U-Haul trailer. You don't take anything with you. You don't take anything with you, right? But listen now, we send things ahead. And that's what it's saying here. We send things ahead. In other words, when the Lord is saying, I'm laying up for ourselves, we're laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven by our obedience to the Lord here on earth. And it's a great joy when you realize that. I can't take anything with me, but I can send ahead things. And the Lord acknowledges that because he'll say, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with small things. I will make you a servant over other things as well. In verse 3, it says, the Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he cast away the desire of the wicked. So righteousness is the best security system available. Satisfied with righteous living and not fulfilling the sinful desires of our heart. The Lord says, you're going to prosper. And righteousness is doing the right thing. So there's the righteousness of God that we receive that's imparted to us. So, for example, to understand righteousness in a biblical sense, in Romans chapter 4, verse 22 to 25, this explains it. Therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness, speaking about Abraham. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered up for our offenses and raised because of our justification. Righteousness, to be declared righteous, we cannot make ourselves righteous. You can't. God declares us righteous. It's a done deal. You've been declared righteous just like you have been justified. It's completed. So when we trust in Jesus Christ, we're declared righteous. You cannot get more righteous. Even as we were talking about this, because we're in Galatians on our Friday morning group, but you can't get more pregnant either. I mean, you're pregnant. You can't get more pregnant. And you're righteous. You can't get more righteous. And it's something that settles our heart. And it's something that you can't earn. He declared you righteous before him. It's his righteousness that we have. And that's why we enter heaven. Someone says, why are you going to heaven? Because Jesus died for my sins and I asked for his forgiveness. And God has declared me righteous. I'm right and ready for heaven. It's all done. I've been justified. And justified can be just as if I never sinned. That's how Christ looks at us. It's just like, you sure, Lord? Yeah. Just as if you never sin. And that's a great blessing to think about. So when the Lord says in verse 3, he shall not allow the righteous soul to famish, he's going to take care of us. Psalm 37, 25. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. He's taking care of us. Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. For neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, right here in Proverbs, that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So the Lord doesn't work mathematically using the principle of addition. He multiplies much more abundantly. He says he wants to do much more abundantly all that we can ask or think. So we're declared righteous. The Proverbs is saying, then you want to live rightly. And you live rightly, you're secure. Not that we're exempt from the troubles of this earth, but we're secure in the Lord. He's going to take care of us. Verse 4, there's a participation. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Nothing is sweeter than seeing hardworking people working hard as unto the Lord. I mean, whatever you do, do wholeheartedly to the Lord. If you're a student, study hard. If you're capable of getting A's, get A's. If you're in competition, then work out hard and be good, the best that you can be. In the workplace, be the best that you can be. That's what he's saying. And he's saying that he works, he responds to that. And again, we're living at a time that the federal government is wanting to take care of everybody. And God says, that's not your job. Your job is to protect everybody, and you're not doing a very good job at it. Because we have millions that have come across the border, and there's just no doubt a number of cell groups within the United States, right? It would be foolish to think it wasn't. Evil isn't relegated to the countries outside of the United States. It's here. It's here. Laziness and careless workers, that equals poverty. And we're raising a generation that has no clue. And I'm speaking in general terms because I see those that do. And I appreciate them and come alongside and say, that's a great job. You're working hard. When you go to work, put your cell phones away. I mean, just work. Work hard. Proverbs 19:15. Laziness cast one into deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Verse 5, he who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in the harvest is a son, causes shame. And we live in the Northwest, and nothing's nicer than seeing those fields get cut and the big bales of hay, and they cut them four or five times a year, depending on the weather, but many times they're wrapped in the white things. I told my kids growing up, those are Goliath marshmallows. That's what they look like, those big white things out in the field. And it's wonderful to see that. And it's great in the Northwest to see the way that the harvest works. We have strawberries in Whatcom County. And when you get tired of those strawberries, you've just ate enough of them, then the raspberries come along. You're like, I have enough of those raspberries. And the blueberries come along. And after the blueberries, you got boysenberries or blackberries. And it's just all set up in sequence. And the Lord did that. And it's just like, you're my people. He synchronized it all. So we don't have them all at one time. They're laid out that way. And then the apple season. And it's great. He caused all that. He made all that happen for us. And we get to partake of it. In Proverbs 20, verse 4, the lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. Verse 6, blessings are on the head of the righteous. Again, the comparison between righteous and wicked. But violence covers the mouth of the wicked. When it says the blessings are on the head of the righteous person leaves a legacy of love and respect. The blessing. And you know, getting, we're, you know, involved with a number of people that just life is getting towards the end, and the legacy that so many men and women are leaving it's great. I mean, they have made a statement. They are, have and are living for the Lord. And it's a sweet thing. It's a legacy of love and respect. Galatians 6, 7 and 8 says, don't be deceived. God's not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. If he sows to the flesh, of the flesh he'll reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Verse 7, the memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. Your name is a memory. So I have family members. I think I officiated about 6 or 7 memorials directly related to our family already. And there's great memories. What it's saying is, when it's time for you to go home, if you've lived for the Lord, there's still memory about your life. There's things that just are helpful to, when you think about somebody and you think about them in a positive life. There's many men and women that, and we could read, you may not know somebody personally, but you read a biography about them or account of their life and you remember them. And words at a memorial service, a lifetime of blessed memories. And I want you to know that your life impacts others, and your life will impact others long after you're gone. It will. The fragrance that you bring to others, it's just the way that it works. Remember my mom saying, what would your grandfather think of this? Well, he's not around, but I don't know he's not around, but what would he think about that? Because he lived a respectful life. He's like, you know, he's going to make right decisions. So just to repeat that, your life impacts others long after you're gone to be with the Lord in heaven. In verse 8, the wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. We don't use the word prating too much, but it means always chattering, never listening. It contrasts the wise and the fool. Proverbs 9:9, give instructions to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Proverbs 18, verse 6 and 7. A fool's lips enters into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are a snare of his soul. So the fool always wants to get into it. Wants to argue. You got to learn how to walk away from a fool. Not provide that opportunity. Not be drawn in. A fool's going to bait the hook to try to draw you into something. And you don't have to be drawn in. You can walk away. You can say, I'm not interested, because you know where it's going. The person isn't interested in really the truth. Verse 9, he who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. In other words, sin will find you out, but let's live the way that we say we want to live. Luke 12:2 says, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be made known. Verse 10, he who winks with his eye causes trouble, but a prating fool will fall. And in this particular context, you know, a wink can be a friendly greeting, or it can be flirtatious, or it can be setting up a con, a secret plan to take advantage of somebody else. Basically, it's saying, it's going to cause trouble. What's with the wink? Knock it off. Verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Oh, by the way, wink at your spouse all that you want. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. So springing up spiritual sound, listening to the encouragement, it gives life. But the violence covers the mouth of the wicked. In other words, I mean, have you ever been around somebody? I know you have. I mean, just people that use vile language just continually, punctuated in every sentence, it's just like, enough. I don't need to hear that. I mean, it sounds like sewer. I mean, we used to have a septic tank we replaced with going into the main line. But dealing with that septic tank is not a pleasant situation, especially when you take the lid off. It's just like, it's not a good thing. And that's what sin is like. When you're around somebody, it tells you with this language, and you just want to go home and take a shower. I mean, it's just that bad. And it's abusive. And abusive language is not foreign within a fellowship and within Christian families. It's not acceptable. It needs to be repented of. You need to personally ask for forgiveness and stop doing it. Verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. I like that. So contention and hatred, bitterness, it divides, it sows discord. But love is powerful and it covers every sin. Think of all the sins that we've committed and think of Christ. His forgiveness has covered all of our sins. It says, He's thrown our sins as far as the east is from the west in Psalms. That means they never will show up again. So when we have been declared righteous, what's happened to my sin? The Lord has cast them as far as the east is west. There's no record of them. But you say the Lord is all-knowing. He knows all things. Absolutely correct. He knows all things. And He's chosen not to know our sins anymore. That's amazing when you think about that. He has forgiven us so much. And that's why we're able to forgive others. The wicked are motivated by hatred. Righteousness is motivated by love. So why all this global contention right now? Why all the hatred? Hatred. When you look at hatred, the wicked are motivated by hatred. We're talking earlier before the study, but hatred blinds you from even being logical, even to hear what is logically. So somebody that is filled with hate, husband and wife, they're just going at each other and you're filled with hate towards one another. You cannot think clearly or rationally or logically. I mean, it's just out the window because that's what hatred does. And so when you look what's going on in the world, and we'll get back more into it on Sunday to bring a current update of what's happening. But how do these young people, that whole protest signs and are all out there regarding Palestinians and everything else, they're absolutely lost. They're ignorant people. They're people that are operating out of ignorance. And they say that the Jewish people are occupying Israel. It's their land. They're indigenous people. It's their place. It's their land. We're going to show you on Sunday, you know, just a map. And when it was their land, and it was declared their land, it's their place. It's their homeland. They're the ones that got, you know, driven out of their own land. They're the ones that were got welcomed back to your land. And people that protest, and this is a general statement and just trying to think this through, but why would young people get all on board? Who persuades these young minds with information that is filled with lies? It's not truthful. Because many of them want a cause. They want something, a cause for living. And so they jump on, whether it's Black Lives Matter or another social thing, they jump on things. They don't think about anything. Because there's a personal satisfaction when you do some humanitarian help. And it's good to help people. I'm not saying not to. But there's a satisfaction that a person receives for doing some good. They think they're doing good. And it really, if you step it through, it becomes for them idolatry. It becomes a god. They're replacing. The problem is that you're guilt-filled because of your sin and your rebellion from God. And you're trying to deal with that. So you're going to deal with it by getting on board various causes. You have no idea what the causes are about. You just get on board with these causes because somebody's leading that way. And you champion these causes. But what you need is Jesus Christ, His forgiveness in your heart. Because you're going to feel a sense of, I accomplished something with this cause. But you're lost in darkness. And you got on board something that you cannot even articulate. What are you doing it? Why are you doing it? Give me an answer. And you can't answer that. So we want to provide some answers on Sunday that can help you in your dialogue with others. But deep in it is hatred. And righteousness is motivated by love. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Verse 13, wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him devoid of understanding. So there's times where correction is going to be the only thing. Verse 14, wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. And I thank God for each of you and others that are part of this church family and fellowship, because week in and week out, we're storing up the knowledge of God's word. It's going within our hearts, and it's bringing wisdom. It's helping us in this life that we're living. Where would we be right now? How would we even understand what's going on in the world? How would we understand Russia, Iran, Turkey, China, North Korea, our southern border, our administration? How would we make sense of what's taking place if we didn't have the Bible and the knowledge of the Word of God? If God hadn't spoken about these days in which we're living in right now, if He hadn't warned us and told us, here's what's happening. And it brings us to verse 15, the rich man, it tells us, a rich man's wealth is a strong city, but destruction of the poor is their poverty. I think it comes back to trusting God, and trusting God for His provisions, and we need His provisions and what it provides. Verse 16, the labor of the righteous leads to life, the wages of the wicked to sin. Again, there's these contrasts that take place in every verse, and most of them deal with the righteous and the wicked. A lot has to do with being a sluggard or working hard, the effects of sin and the fruit of unrighteousness. Wealth is attained by hard work, for the most part. Verse 17, he who keeps instruction is the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. And so in our own lives, we receive God's word, and God tells us in His word about Himself. He gives us instruction. So how am I to live this day? And if we ignore God's word, we refuse His correction, we go sideways. Verse 18, whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. So a lot of times, you have lying lips, and I do too. Oh, it's so good to see you. You know it's not. You just coincidentally ran into them, but you're still dealing something in their heart. Oh, man. It talks about hiding the truth. But be careful, because it also mentions slander, and that is very, very destructive. To slander other people is one of the worst things that can take place, and it'll come back to you as well. Verse 19, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. It's basically saying fools talk too much. Better to keep your lips closed and to let everyone think that you are a fool than to open your lips and to remove all doubt. If we talk long enough, we'll end up sinning. Verse 20, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. So with the tongue, it enriches with grace and comfort. It gives us a perspective, and we're thankful for that. So if you're living the right way, the things that you have to say, they're like choice silver. I mean, it's great. And so you listen, and you can encourage somebody. You can help somebody. You can share God's word with somebody. And it's a blessing. But the wicked, they're not going to do that. Verse 21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but the fools die for lack of wisdom. Lips, your lips, to encourage other people, to bring spiritual life. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification or building up, that it may impart grace to the hearers. How much difference things would be if we started the day with, how can I impart grace in my household, to my spouse, to my children, to my friends, in the workplace? How can I impart grace today? In what way can I build up? What way can I encourage somebody else? And you say, well, I'm just not at that place right now. I'm the one that needs encouraging. Look to the Lord and He will encourage you. You encourage somebody else. You impart grace. You watch what happens to your heart and to your life. It will be filled with, verse 22, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. Blessing is found by the enriching love of God. The Lord will bring that about. I believe in this world today, every one of us, we don't need to look at anybody's bank statement. We are the richest people in the world as believers in Jesus Christ. He's accepted us in His beloved. He's adopted us. He's redeemed us. He's given us His Holy Spirit. We are the richest people in the world when you think of the blessing and the riches that we have in Christ Jesus today. In verse 23, to do evil is like a sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. And just think of how evil, and we don't really know the deep, dark evil that Hamas took to Israel on October 7th. You've heard things and maybe saw some things. It's vulgar, it's gross, you can't handle it. I mean, you want to shut it off. You want to move away from it because of how vile it is. And it's way beyond anything that anyone knows. And to them, it was just a sport. That's what it was. It's just a sport to them. Verse 24, the fear of the wicked will come upon him, and desire of the righteous will be granted. So again, the wicked will be held accountable. And wicked people live in fear. They're living in fear of coming judgment upon them. But for us as believers walking in the light, we desire to do the right thing. And it's okay to really wake up. And this is biblical. It's to wake up and to say, God, I just know that you're going to bless my day. That's who He is. And this is not positive doctrine by any means or prosperity thinking. He is the God of all blessing. He's the God of all comfort. He's the God that loves us. So as we enter the day, just God, you're with me, you're for me. You've declared me righteous. You will bless me. You will lead me. No matter what comes my way, you're with me. I'm going to anticipate not, you know, just great hardship, but I'm going to anticipate fellowship with you. You're going to help me through. The blessing of the Lord is upon you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up your countenance. The Lord give you peace. This is our God. And we need to approach him, biblically speaking, for what he does to us. Verse 25. The whirlwind passes by. The wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. Jesus said, let everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Verse 26, as vinegar to the teeth, and I've never done that. Maybe some of you have. I pretty much just like a little water and toothpaste for the most part. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes. Now, I've had smoke in the eyes, and most of you have. So is a lazy man to those who send him. So vinegar and smoke are irritating, it's hurtful, it's painful. And it's basically saying, the lazy man, you're the worst worker there is. You're useless. It's basically, you're done. It's your last day. Take a hike. It's just like, the fear of the Lord, verse 27, prolongs days. But the years of the wicked will be shortened. And he's telling us if you live uprightly and wisely, you're not living a life of crime, it's health to your soul. There's longevity that comes with that. I think many in here would say that God has brought longevity to our life, that when you think about perhaps your earlier days or foolish living days, probably many were in situations that could have been your last day. God sustained you, and now he's given you hope and purpose. Verse 28, the hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. Again, the Proverbs are saying, we're looking to the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. We're living. He's declared us righteous. We want to live rightly. It brings gladness to our heart. Verse 29, the way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come upon the workers of iniquity. Verse 30, the righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not inhabit the earth. Again, the standing in the place that we have with God, declared righteous, how he sees us. Verse 31, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut out. It will be judged, and it will be silenced, and it will be humiliated. And finally, in verse 32, our last verse tonight, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse. Psalm 17, verse 15, as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I wake up in your likeness. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. We'll have a final worship song tonight. Father in heaven, we do thank you for the gracious way that you loved us with an everlasting love, that your plan was to redeem us before the foundation of the world. And forgive us, Lord, for not really meditating on who you really are. The one that has declared us righteous, has justified us, is calling us into fellowship. The one that allows us to live with certainty and with hope and with expectation. The one that is there because you never sleep nor slumber. You're there when we awake, and how you love to hear your children. Just as you love to see sons and daughters bless mom and dad, how you love your own children to reach out to you with words of praise and adoration and expectation. So I do pray, God, a blessing over every life here. We are living in difficult, predicted times, but God, you are with us. You're for us. You won't forsake us. You'll accomplish your purposes in and through us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.